Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there, everybody, and good morning to you. Richard Neer with you on The Fan until 8 o'clock this morning, till you better you bet. Phone number is 888-808-1019, and boy, it's so good to have baseball back. Opening weekend, weird schedules. You know, the Yankees, this is the way things have been the last few years, where you start on Thursday, you have Friday night off, and then you play Saturday and Sunday. So the Mets and Astros have turned that on its ear. They're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they have Sunday off. So if you're a Mets fan, where's the game Sunday? Ain't got it. If you're a Yankee fan, you don't have a game on Monday. Mets have a game on Monday. So I don't know whether they're trying not to schedule the teams against each other. So if you're a New York fan, you can watch the Yankees one day and not worry about missing the Mets game. Whatever. It's one of those quirks of the schedule, but it's good to have it back. And, you know, we're so tempted because we're used to football where every game is decisive, you know, every game. And in baseball, you go, oh, you know, there's 162, so you have a bad start. Look at the Mets last year. They were 0-5, and they come within two games of the World Series. And the Yankees went down to Houston and swept the Astros, and they made the World Series. So, I mean, you know, these portents of things to come, no. we can't take one game and take that small sample and blow it up into the whole season. But you can take little signs and say, okay, that's good, not so good. And the things that are good that you see, you know, the Yankees with a leadoff home run to start the season, that's always good. And the fact that Wells, as a catcher, leading off is pretty unusual. And, you know, the stories today about Wells, everybody knew at 25 that his bat was going to be okay. He's going to be a hitter. There wasn't a question about that. But the scouts almost universally said, God, this guy's terrible defensively. He can't be a defensive catcher. He's going to wind up on first base. And that still may be the case. But he has worked on his defense and has become a pretty decent defensive catcher. Weaver, Oh, I'm reading a Newsday this morning. It has a real way with words. A strange way with words. A very poetic way with words. Some would say not grammatically correct, but interesting. You know, where you have to think, oh, what did he just say? Was very high on his presence. The fact that he's behind the plate and he looks like a solid, knows what he's doing, decisive, no fumbling around, no questioning, no looking around to the dugout. Hey, what do I do here? No, looks decisive. Good. 25 years old. Good. So that was a good sign for the New York Yankees. And the other good sign for the New York Yankees was Rodon, who, as you've followed him over the years, has been up and down. Looks great sometimes, looks not great other times. And he looked really, really solid developing new pitches. And this is one of those things that in baseball, it used to be you get on a spring training and every pitcher would come, hey, I got a new pitch here. I'm throwing a splitter, throwing a sweeper, throwing this, throwing that. And you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then as the season goes on, they go back to what worked for them before. Well, in this case, we're starting to see, because of these pitching labs and these high, high analytics, you're starting to see pitchers actually have new pitches that work. And sequencing is so important now, where it's not just take the ball and throw the ball. It's, okay, I'm going to throw a slider here. I'm going to throw a fastball here. There's a plan, a sequence, and this works hand-in-hand with the catchers. I mean, this has always been the case, but it seems a bit more scientific now than once upon a time than it used to be. But still, starters are going 5 innings, 6 innings. That's all they expect, and there's a big emphasis on bullpens. And we saw it early in the season, and that's the way baseball is going to be played unless they start changing rules. And, you know, there's lots of questions about, how do you give incentives for starters to stay in longer? Well, some of the things that is being suggested by Scherzer, who hates the idea of starters not going 7-8 innings, well, maybe you take the DH away if your starter doesn't go at least 6 innings. Or once the starter comes out, the DH goes away. Well, that would certainly be a strong penalty. I don't like ideas that mess with the fabric of the game. You know, like the ghost runner was a hard one for me to swallow at first. Now I kind of like it. Think it works. But I just don't like... You know, I'm not necessarily a traditionalist or an old school guy, but some things that really just take the game away and turn it into something different. Not a big fan of that. You know, pitch clock, that was something I thought was the time had come. So I don't know that we need to get the starting pitchers going longer, that we hearken back to Seaver and Gibson and those guys who just would stay in and finish games. You know, where Bob Gibson in 68 had more complete games. I think he had 28 complete games out of 34 starts, more than the whole league had last year. Yeah, the numbers are crazy. So I don't know that you need to do that, but it would be nice to have those stud ace guys making $40 million a year actually earn it by working a little bit more than, oh, 100 pitches, thank you, I'm going to sit on the bench now. And I think a lot of pitchers don't want to do that. They want to stay in, but this is the way the game is played nowadays. But we had opening day, and, you know, the Mets, you know, I think a lot of Yankee fans are, Soto struck out. And I even texted my friend, the mighty Casey has struck out. Here's Soto in a big spot, and Soto rarely swings the pitches outside the strike zone. I mean, that's the key to Juan Soto. The fact that this guy's got such a great eye doesn't help the pitcher. You got to throw strikes to this guy, and he makes you throw strikes. And he swings at a slider 2 feet off the plate. And you go, oh, my God, what happened? And it turns out that Hader didn't have a slider. And watching him address other hitters, especially Luis Angel, he didn't have it. He was throwing fastballs. So Soto said, well, he's going to throw me a fastball 3-2 here. So he's gearing up for a fastball, and all of a sudden that slider, which was absent to Acuna and everybody else, all of a sudden this devastating slider to a lefty comes in, and Soto waves at it and looks bad and strikes out. And Yankee fans are going, ha, you paid all that money for that guy. Well, he got his redemption last night with a solo homer. And, you know, it's really silly. And I think if you're a mature person with a head on your shoulders, you realize that, hey, Yankees wanted Soto back. They offered $750 million to get him back, or $60 million to get him back. And he chose the Mets. And, you know, we could parse why he did that. You know, did they make him feel more familial? And then did they, he said, that, well, they have a better chance of winning. Who knows? You know, you look at a farm system. Well, these guys are coming up. They're going to be better. These guys are going to spend more money. You don't know. You don't know. You're taking wild guesses. So Soto's comfortable in Queens. That's all that matters. The Yankees move on without him. And so far, the Yankees have a better record than the Mets. They're 1-0, and the Mets are 1-1. For whatever that means, which is absolutely nothing. Now, gave you a little scout on the Yankees, on the Mets. Okay, Soto, home run, single, day before, strikes out, whatever. You know he's going to be fine. Whether it's going to be 41 home runs like last year or 35 or 30, whatever the number is, the on-base percentage, the OPS plus, all that stuff, he's fine. You know, Soto stays healthy. They're not worried. But other guys, you have question marks. You know, Alonso. Alonso looks pretty good so far. Yeah, I watched at bats with him where there were pitches in the dirt, pitches off the plate that in the past he'd swing at and get himself out. And he showed some plate discipline the last couple of nights. So that's a plus. Will it last? Who knows? Other things that you look for, last night, Diaz closing. Now, last year, you look at, he only converted 20 out of 27 save opportunities. His ERA was high in the threes. And you were hoping to get the Soto that was so great in 2022. And, of course, he missed 23 with the knee injury. Comes back, and last year was made you nervous whenever he came in. Was he going to have it or wasn't he going to have it? And last night, he threw strikes. He got ahead of hitters. He challenged hitters. And there was some contact and some fairly hard contact. But in the end, 1-2-3, threw mostly strikes, only a couple of balls. And he was topping out at 98 and pretty consistent at 98. And the slider was there, knee-buckling slider. So you look at that outing and you go, well, all right, he's not going to do that every time out. No reliever can. But if Diaz can show you that in his first start, his first closing appearance, you got to be pretty happy with that. You got to be encouraged by that. So you like that. And then you have Tyler McGill, who at the beginning of spring training, the Mets were like, well, you know, we have options with this guy. We can send this guy down. We don't necessarily have to have this guy in the rotation. And McGill is like, you know, I don't know if Syracuse. I mean, it's my hometown where I was born, but it's not exactly the most wonderful place on the face of the earth. I will concede that, okay? So, especially this time of year where, oh, spring, well, let's wait till June before spring is here in Syracuse sometimes. So he'd rather be in New York, rather be with the Metsies. And last night he took a big step toward doing that. Started the second game of the season, got 5+ innings, only gave up a couple of hits, one run. and through strikes. And that is the big thing with McGill and so many of the Met pitchers. And the first game of the season, they were walking guys. This time, McGill throwing strikes, going after hitters, being aggressive. Let them hit it. And, you know, they hit it at somebody. So that was encouraging. Now, certainly Griffin Canning tonight, and the game is going to be on Fox, is I'm not so sure about this guy. This guy the Mets picked up, and, you know, his major league career has been not so great. But Stearns has a way of taking guys like that with potential, and because of the pitching laboratory and whatever they have, turning them into credible starters that don't cost a lot of money. We'll see if that works tonight. Other things with the Metsies, you have yet to see this potent offense break out and score a lot of runs. I mean, they've scored 4 runs over 2 games. But the Astros pitchers have looked really good. And that's why Houston is going to be a tough out in the American League again. That pitching staff is pretty good. And that lineup is pretty strong, too. So the Astros, even though, yeah, they made the playoffs last year, but they went out early, they're going to be a force this year. They're not going to be the team that the Yankees swept in 4 straight to start the season. They look pretty, pretty decent. And I've got to say, you know, Keith was complaining to me, oh, geez, we got 1 game, and then it goes to Fox, it goes to Apple, and we don't start games again until Monday on SNY, and you want to see Gary, Keith, and Ron. But last night, Apple, MLB, whoever made this call, did something that I really thought was great in that you sign on to the Apple Plus thing, and you get the, you know, you get the game. And there's a little thing way in the right corner where you can get the hometown radio feed. So we click on that, and voila, there is Howie Rose. And it's completely synced up with what's going on the field. You know, in the past, when you had to sign on to the MLB app to get the radio and try to sync it up with the TV, and you could get it pretty close. And then between innings, it would go off again, and Howie would be before what happened or after what happened. And it was frustrating because, you know, no offense to the Apple guys, but, yeah, come on. And miking up players on the field, split screens, all this stuff that they do that, if you're a real baseball fan, just show me the game. I don't need the interviews. I don't need the players mic'd up necessarily. It's a distraction, blah, 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 whatever. There you have Howie Rose with his great descriptions of everything that happened. And, okay, he's doing radio, so it's more wordy than it would be if he was doing TV. But it was great. And again, completely synced up. So if you are in a position where, and I think there are going to be a lot of games with the Yankees and the Mets on Apple, you just put on your local guys. You know, put on Dave Sims and Susan Waldman or Howie Rose, McCarthy. You know, you've got your guys. So that works. And even though the pitchers can be distracting, and I hate this odds of getting on base and odds of hitting a home run, odds of walking, all the stuff that they put on there for the gambling element, you can ignore that. Just listen to Howie and Dave and watch the game. So that's a big plus. Haven't touched on football. Real quick, Russell Wilson, I think, good signing for the Giants. And, you know, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make up his mind. I thought all along he'd be with the Steelers. And he hasn't signed yet. He may retire. Who knows what he's going to do. But they get a guy, credible guy, better than what they've had, a guy that'll make the receiving core better, a guy that has a lot of enthusiasm, backed up by Jameis Winston. You got a couple of guys that really put a lot of spirit and fight and all that kind of good stuff into the team. So you'll get by with that. And I'm thinking the Giants may not go for a quarterback on number three, if one is even available at number three. The two guys, of course, that you hear with Sanders and Ward. You know, they may just take Hunter, or they may just take the pass rusher and just solidify other areas of the team and then take a Dart or somebody else later and pick number 34. You know, get the best guy they can get in the second round. And what does that mean for their future? Well, at least they've got two guys who can play the position, maybe not at a Hall of Fame level anymore, but can play the position, and you can bring the kid along, whoever he is, and tutor him and work with him so that by year two, he might be ready to start and might be your future. And again, I say might because you never know when you're drafting quarterbacks if they're going to be, you know, if they're going to be Russell Wilson or some other Wilsons whose name I shall not mention who haven't exactly worked out. So you go with what you got and you hope that the Giants are going to be good this year. Yeah, they've strengthened their secondary. They've got a draft coming up where they can put some more pieces in the offensive line better. Maybe they'll be decent. I mean, three wins, it's hard not to beat that. So I think they'll be better than three wins. Are they going to be a playoff team? Probably not. But in order to keep their jobs, you know that Dable and their general manager are going to do everything they can to make the team better and make them credible. We'll see how that works out.